Honestly, for those who are looking to come off Bruno for 1 week and know that they're going back, say sitting there with two free transfers and don't know what to do and want to kind of just shift zone for 1 week and go back, honestly, I'd buy Raheem Sterling.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. Happy Friday. Differential show day. James, we're recording, getting this stuff out before the blackout, social media blackout, and so on and so on. It has been noted that me doing a social media blackout is not particularly difficult because I don't tweet that much. But you know,
I want to ask you before we get into what we're doing with FPL and whatnot this week. It's the last day of April, and you're sitting there with a coat on.
I came to work this morning and just haven't taken my coat off all day. I don't know why, what happened, but I dropped the kids to school. So I just came in. I was doing some stuff out in the back where we've got some storage space in this new office. We've got this new space that James still hasn't been to, but hopefully in a few weeks when Boris, with the 17th of May, things ease up a little bit more, we might be recording together in the last week of the season or something. But yeah, I was out there, so I kept my jacket on, just haven't taken it off. And once we finish recording, I'm actually popping out. So yeah, I've just kept it on all morning. Feels quite comfy and, you know, all good.
Are you not hot?
No, it's not baking inside here. Heating's off and that, so it's all good.
All right, let's talk about FPL then.
You said most people know what you're doing, I'm assuming because of your deadline stream yesterday, and you've been quite upfront about it.
Oh yeah, I'm rolling.
Yeah, I'll be the same. So the thing is, what I've got to take into consideration for me is my free hit. When do I use my free hit?
Yeah.
So at the moment, working off the assumption that Man United, Arsenal, Chelsea, Leicester double in 35 and don't play in 36, I've got three Leicester, one Chelsea, two Man United, one Arsenal. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 players there that have a double game week from decent enough teams, which means they have a blank in 36.
You're better off free hitting in 36.
I'm going to free hit in 36. So because what I didn't want to do is free hit in 35, like roll this week and then free hit in 35 doesn't make sense because I'll just burn a transfer for no reason. So I'm pretty confident that I will be, and that doesn't include the other teams that might double as well. Fulham Palace, Southampton, whatever.
Villa, Everton, Southampton, Palace.
Yeah, so I've got none of them, so it doesn't help me. But I'll roll two transfers into next week. And at the moment, as it stands, with my bench being Rob Holding against Newcastle, Luke Shaw against Liverpool, and Mateo Vidra against West Ham, which, yeah, it's third on the bench. It's a strong enough bench, to be honest with you. So I'm happy rolling this week. I'll make two transfers next week that will hopefully get me to maybe 9 or 10 doublers, and then I'll free hit in 36.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go 4-3-3 this week. Leno in goal. Don't care if he plays or doesn't play. Another 0-pointer would suit me absolutely fine. As long as if Matt Ryan plays instead, he also gets a 0-pointer. Back for Fofana, Rudiger, Dallas, Reguilón. I'm going to go Salah, Lingard, Son, Vardy, Iheanacho, Kane, captain. Iheanacho vice, I think. Just get that out of the way tonight. Well, presumably, Sam Martin's been on the money with the Leicester team recently, so there's every chance we'll get that ahead of deadline. Although, I don't know if Sam's partaking in the social media blackout, because if he is, we might not get the team.
Yeah.
But I think if you've got confirmation that Iheanacho's playing, if you're captain Kane, makes sense to stick vice-captaincy on a player. You know, he's definitely going to play. And the guy is on absolute fire. Now, that means I'm going to be leaving Jota on the bench this week, and also Ezri Konsa. And Rafinha, who is becoming a little bit of a pain in the arse, but I'm not convinced that I want to get rid. So, I mean, I could get rid now and get Zaha ready to go for, say, next week. But I think what I'm probably better to do is, if Rafinha's still out next week, then he becomes expendable for me, I believe. And with two free transfers, my first thoughts would be Rafinha to Zaha, which I can't do in one move. It would mean downgrading Reguilon possibly to Joel Ward.
Right.
Give me two Palace for their double against Sheffield United Southampton. They also cover the Aston Villa home fixture. No requirement to use Ward other than that. That's my early thinking for game week 35 in terms of my intention. And then it's probably minus four in game week 36 to remove definitely Vardy, probably Iheanacho as well. That's probably where I'm at in terms of my thinking at the moment.
I'm lined up with Mendy in goal. I'm on a 3-5-2, mate. Mendy in goal. Trent, Dallas, Castagnier is my back three. Heung-min Son, Jesse Lingard, Bruno Fernandes, Diogo Jota, James Maddison on my midfield. Harry Kane, captain. Iheanacho up top.
You're not going to captain James Maddison?
Nah, probably not. I mean, look, we'll all be kicking ourselves when Leicester score another nine today, won't we? And
I don't think so somehow, although you'd expect them to win at the moment.
They're in good form, actually.
Saints have got issues with the injuries as well. Danny Ings out. Ryan Bertrand, I believe, is out as well. Probably means Salisu again at left back. I'm not convinced about him in that position at all. Which, again, actually could be good for another player you own. You've got Castagna, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
But I think Pereira will come back in and play right wing back. I don't understand what's going on. If Pereira doesn't play tonight, I don't understand what's going on. I'm baffled.
Maybe he's being absolutely sold baffled to Spurs, who need a right back.
Well, this is what I said about Brendan Rodgers. He's coming to Tottenham, he's bringing Pereira with him. And since then, Rodgers said, I don't want to speak to them clowns. I don't blame him, by the way. And reports this morning, I got the other night that Fabrizio Romano had said that Tottenham were meeting Erik ten Hag, the Ajax manager, and I thought, well, that's going to be done deal then. There's reports come out literally as I began to record saying that ten Hag's possibly signed a new contract with Ajax, man. Which leaves us with no one, mate. We're coming for David Moyes. It'd be all just left, mate.
Yeah, it's true. Sam Allardyce?
No, you're good. You're right. I don't mind Moyes. None of this Sam Allardyce business. Should we talk? I tell you what I do want to say actually first, just before we move on to the rest of the world and stuff. Bruno Fernandes.
Yes.
A lot of questions I obviously had on my stream last night. What did it do with Bruno?
In the main pod that we did earlier in the week, it was a lot of Bruno.
My general advice was keep him because you're going to want to buy him back next week if that game week 35 double falls. And having now won 6-2 at Roma, surely they can leave him on the bench in Rome, can't they?
Yep.
And, you know, if they go 2-0 down, fine, bring him on. So Bruno for 35 looks much stronger now if the double happens. That's absolutely key. It just really amused me last night, all the people going, oh, I might not sell Bruno then because he's got two goals and two assists against Roma. Like, you're not already aware.
You didn't know how capable that guy is. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just refresh and check. I think Kane's overtaken him now, but he is the second highest point scorer in the game. No, he's still the highest point scorer in the game by 3 points.
Look, so he's obviously not been on a good run for the money that he's worth. Mm. But my point is, and yeah, you don't particularly want him this week against Liverpool. Although I do actually think he's a cheeky outside captaincy shout, right? Because Liverpool aren't great defensively. I'd captain Bruno this week before I captain Mo Salah, for example. It just doesn't make sense now to sell him. Mm. It was weeks ago. Really, we've been looking all this way through going, I'm not going to captain him. Well, actually, once we get beyond this week, it's quite a few people probably be looking at him going, captain 35, yay, blanks 36, and possibly captain him in 37. So if you've held this long, keep going.
So, before we talk about rest of the world and all that, I don't know, do you want to talk about PSG City a couple of days ago?
Brilliant game.
I felt like in the first half, I was watching someone play FIFA. Because, you know, it's just like pass, pass, pass. Just knocking the ball around to each other. It's like the way that both these teams are keeping the ball, it's like a game of FIFA where no one's using the tackle buttons not allowed or something like that. So enjoyable. Really,
it's the same watching PSG and Bayern, top-level stuff. I mean, for me, they're probably the three best teams around at the moment, City, Bayern and PSG. PSG didn't set up tactically much different to what I anticipated. Wanted to obviously use the counter-attacking pace of Mbappe and Neymar. It was interesting that Verratti basically played in a wide position, kind of reverted to a 4-4 1-1 basically without the ball, but it was Neymar still. It was kind of 4-3-3 with it, reverted to basically 4-4-1-1 without it. City had PSG had some real joy in the first half because there was a real consciousness for, I think, from Cancelo and Walker not to go forward.
Yeah,
which meant that when City did have domination of the ball, they couldn't get the overloads going. Mm. But then in the second half, that changed originally with Cancelo. Then when Zinchenko came and played really high, and they managed to really get three V2s on the right hand side with Bernardo drifting out that side in the half spaces with Mahrez and Walker. And then once they equalised, you really felt they were going to go and win the game. PSG lost their heads a bit, didn't they? Idrissa Gueye, who I really don't think he meant that tackle.
No, but it was a bad tackle.
Awful. As soon as you saw it, knew it. What I did anyway, I knew it was a red as soon as I saw it. And I think the referee was just waiting, wasn't he, in his ear to. He was like, "Oh, I think that's a red. Someone just tell me in my ear, is it a red? That's a red. Let's send him off." Which is the best way to do the VAR, by 100%. The way. Just wait. Let him get in your ear. If he's talking to him, going, "I think that's a red. Look at it quick. Yep. Yeah, it's a red. Send him off, mate." It's the best way to do it. No one even has to know VAR's involved. Mm. Love that, by the way. That's what it looked like.
I thought Di Maria had a really good first
half. Yeah, he did, actually. He's still got it. He's really good. He's so weird that he didn't work out for him at United, really.
Mm. But he wasn't bad at United. He just wasn't setting the world alight. I mean, he still created goals and assists and stuff when he was at Man United.
He just never settled there.
No, that was more of it. But here's the thing, right? So now we've got a second leg where PSG have to score and get away goals and win the game. So surely the second leg is almost set up even better than the first leg was. It's just because one team has to go for it. I'd be
very surprised if Man City went out. Very, very surprised. There's a danger in going for it against Manchester City.
Of course there is.
Because the best strategy really for PSG is still to try and isolate Neymar and Mbappe in 2v3s, for example. Get Di Maria in it, 3v4s, whatever. That's still the best strategy for them. If they swing punches against City, they don't have the midfield dominance or control. Although they're extremely good on the ball, I don't believe they have the ability to go to City and sort of eke out 60%+ possession of the ball and have real domination of the game. What is going on there behind
this is
you?
A big black kind of pin board. And
I thought it was going to fall on you.
It had fallen, but it hadn't hit me. So something had stopped it. So it kind of just, we should probably post this video. It felt like that. But it hadn't actually hit me, so I didn't realise. And I was like, what? And it absorbs sound as well, so I don't sound so echoey. But yeah. I'm just looking forward to this second leg.
I expect Chelsea to go through as well.
Yeah.
I think they'll have enough.
It's the final I don't want, City-Chelsea. I don't like it when both finalists are from the same country. It doesn't
to
feel
be honest,
the same.
Did you want any of these four teams to be in the final? Not particularly.
Yeah, probably not.
No, give us a shit. I mean, we obviously dislike PSG, but then they've kind of become everyone's angels in the last couple of weeks because they didn't sign up to the Super League. But they're still fucking arseholes themselves. But then for me, there was like, I'd love Poch to win it. I wouldn't particularly want Chelsea to win it. They're one of the four clubs that the club I dislike the least. Real Madrid are weak at the moment. I don't really want them to win it because of Perez and stuff. And City kind of falls into the same category of PSG. But I feel like for footballing perspective, I'd like them to win it, I think.
Mm. Let's see. Let's talk about this Europe versus the rest of the world. You smashed me last week because I had no returns. I thought I'd go bold and put the armband on Trent Alexander-Arnold. Well, he was a minute away from delivering for me and then ended up not delivering. So
I ended up with 8 players and still smashed you.
Mm.
Of those 8 players, that includes Sadio Mane blank, Roman Saiss 0, El Mohamedy 1. I bought El Mohamedy to solve an immediate defensive issue that I had. But smashed you because I captained Mo Salah. Mm. I got Ian Acho. And I've got Chris Wood, mate.
Oh, wow. So you have got Wood.
I got 50 points from Wood, Salah and Ian Acho, mate. Have some of that. And nice. I got a Richarlison assist as well. So, that's it. Got 60 points, 55 points from 4.
And 5 points from 7 or whatever else it is. Yeah, wow.
The state of it.
But, 90 points behind, 5-6 game weeks to go. OK, Can you do it?
How many points?
90.
No.
No, as soon as normal services resumed.
He's actually 94 now as well because I've taken
a hit.
A minus four, yeah. So I've got rid of El Mohammadi, who I got in for 1 week to solve a problem. And I've also got rid of Lucas Moura, which might feel a little bit daft with Sheffield United at home this week. And it is daft if he's in the team. My instinct is he probably won't be. So I've bought Thiago Silva in, which obviously he might get rested against Fulham. But he's fit and available now. So I think just get him in. Fuck it. And I've got Matheus Pereira in. I think it's the last opportunity to do it if you're interested in Pereira. So Pereira is definitely, between now and the end of the season, the better FPL asset than Lucas Moura, as far as I'm concerned. So minus four, done. Pereira in for Lucas facilitates getting Thiago Silva in for El Mohammadi. It means I've still got Rafinha, Masuaku. Olerena's going to basically, I presume if Masuaku's not available, Aina's going to be my only sub this week. And that includes the fact I've still got Gabriel of Arsenal, which is fucking dreadful. So, yeah, it's a bit shit. I've got Salah and Mane at Manchester United this week. It's not great. But I've got a good captain in Kelechi Iheanacho, obviously. And I've got Wood. I've got Heung-Min Son. So, to be honest, I'm Richarlison. I'm basically hoping them four carry me through again. Iheanacho, Son, Richarlison and Wood. I'm gonna captain Iheanacho over Son.
I'm going to make no changes this week, but it gives me Harry Kane as captain. So I'm going to be lining up with Meslier in goal, Trent, Reece James, Soufal, Diaz at the back, Fernandez, Madison, Rashford in midfield, and then Bamford, Watkins, Kane with the armband on Kane up top. 4-3-3 for me this week.
Okie dokie.
Yeah.
With the differential team, we have to make a transfer. Our friend Kelechi Iheanacho is over 20%, was over 20% at the 24-hour cut-off. Thanks as ever, Rob Chetty, for your work on the sheet. So Iheanacho has got to go, mate. And I made a very, very late decision to use a second free transfer last week. I've gone solo on this team, mate.
Okay, go on.
I bought in...
It's because you've got the login. Go on.
I bought in Cavani for Ings.
Yeah.
And the reason I decided to do that really last minute was basically because of what's happened. Bell, Reguilón obviously unavailable. Phillips' injury meant we were looking at only 10 if I didn't make the transfer. And I thought, well, it's a free transfer. Fuck it. We'll take it. Ings could be out for weeks. Obviously, Ricardo Pereira didn't show, so we still only ended up with 10 players. We got 58 in this team as well. And that's mainly because Iheanacho captain.
Yep.
And then some dotted around little returns from Richarlison, Luca Dean, Cesar Azpilicueta and Ilan Meslier, which came in quite handy, actually. So we had five returners in there. You could say Jack Harrison's 3 points as well, arguably. So 58 points, not too bad. Iheanacho's got to go. We only have one free transfer. So I have a little short list of players that I'd like to take you through in terms of considerations for this. So, Danny Welbeck.
How much money do we have?
We have 6.5 million. We have 0.5 spare. We sell Iheanacho for 6. So we can go up to 6.5.
Okay.
So Danny Welbeck, Callum Wilson, back fit, Mateo Vidra, and Chris Wood. Now, I think the obvious one there is to say, right, just get Chris Wood in. He's the form guy, right? West Ham, yeah, Fulham away next, still Sheffield United away last day.
Have we missed the boat with him?
Well, yes, probably. I also wonder if Wilson's fixture this week is not as bad as it looks at home to Arsenal. Yes, there's Leicester and Manchester City afterwards, but they finished with Sheffield United and Fulham. So I think across the five fixtures, Wood's still got to play Liverpool. He's got to play Leeds and West Ham. I think across the five fixtures, there's not a lot in it, actually, between Wood and Wilson. And the other thing in terms of... I'm not keen on Welbeck because I don't think he'll play all five games.
None of the other names you mentioned.
The only thing with Vidra, obviously, go Vidra. We had a good chat with him, Jack Toner, Turfy Topper on COTC, which we've just released. And I'd asked him about the idea, like, if you had Vidra and you could go up to Wood, would you make the move? And he's like, I don't see it. He's like, I think, look, 1-4-0, we know the normal script with Sean Dyche, same team again. I think Vidra probably stays in the team. And it, obviously, if you go Vidra 4.8, it does facilitate more money in the bank for next week and other moves. That's the only thing. So I wouldn't rule out Wilson or Vidra. I think it's obvious to say, yeah, Chris Wood. I'm not sure it is quite so straightforward, actually, for our particular team.
Well, we don't necessarily struggle to spend the money in this team. I'm honestly so torn here. And the logic behind it is quite straightforward. Callum Wilson is playing for Newcastle, who literally are safe and have got nothing to play for. And I can't trust them to really put a shift in the last few games. Or Chris Wood, who I feel like we might have missed the boat on because he's just been on such a good goal-scoring run with his 10 goals and what have you. So, yeah, I'm torn, James, really 50-50. Which of the two sides, Burnley and Newcastle, do you trust to put in a performance? Every game between now and the end of the season?
I think Newcastle will score goals, honestly.
Then I'd prefer Wilson. I think he's a better player and I think he's a better FPO asset. I'd prefer Wilson. I just don't prefer Newcastle. So if you think Newcastle will still score goals between now and the end of the season, I would go Callum Wilson over Chris Wood. I really would. Especially this week. I don't think they'll score a lot against us, even if he can get on the score sheet, it'll be one.
No, but then you look at next week and you go, right, Wood's got Fulham.
Who also are good defensively.
Yeah, but if they've still got a hope of staying up, they're going to have to go all out attack, aren't they? Might leave it open for, and Burnley have been better away from home than at home recently, actually. Think of the performances at Everton, even the two they scored at Southampton, and obviously the performance last Sunday at Wolves.
Why don't we just toss a coin?
I think the answer's probably still Wood, because we could always go a different way with that and come back for, rather than looking at the five, we could look at Wilson's last two and go come back for Wilson's last two.
Yeah. I don't mind that.
Might be the better play.
So you think Chris Wood for Iheanacho is the move we've got to make?
I think it's probably still the way to go, yeah. Are you in agreement with that?
Yeah, sure, I don't mind that. Like I said, I'm really torn 50-50 on it.
You know what's mad about those two? Wood is the seventh highest scoring forward in FPL this season. Wilson is eighth.
Fifth or something. Okay, yeah.
There's a point between them. Right, Wood in, done. Wood 6.3, so it does. I mean, it's a little bit cheaper than Wilson as well. Just give us 0.2 spare. So, captaincy this week. I've got us bust as Ederson in goal, Pereira, Azpilicueta, Dean, Reguilón, Bale, Maddison, Mane, Cavani, Wood, Richarlison, with Saka, Harrison, Phillips on the bench.
Give me that midfield again.
Bale, Maddison, Mane.
I mean, there's no real standout. I almost feel like Reguilón against Sheffield United at home.
It's Bale, isn't it? I think he'll start, mate.
If you think he'll start, I'd go Bale. I'd rather pick a Spurs asset. I was thinking Reguilón because I think a clean sheet is likely. But if there's ever a team to let Sheffield United score, it's going to be your lot, isn't it?
I would be surprised if Bale's not in the team, I think. Therefore, I think with us sitting with him there, I think that's probably
just take
the answer.
Take the punt.
I'd probably, after Bale, I'd probably go Richarlison versus Villa.
I'm inclined to agree. Let's go Bale. Go on. He's only got four or five more games to make any impact at Spurs. So,
all right. Let's go Gareth Bale. Captain. Indeed. Differential team locked in. Predictions for the week?
Southampton, Leicester tonight.
I'm going to go 2-0 Leicester.
3-0 Leicester for me. Without Danny Ings up there as a focal point, I think it's going to be hard work for Sheffield United. They're not going to get much change. Last few games, I mean, since the West Ham game, to be honest with you, I think Tielemans and Ndidi have been back to looking a bit more boss in midfield. I just don't think Southampton are going to get space or anything. I think Leicester comfortably 3-0. And when strikers are in form, like Iheanacho is, decent. Crystal Palace, Man City.
This one I'm going 3-0. I'm going to go 3-0 City.
Me too.
In spite of the fact I think they're going to heavily rotate, I think the mad punt captaincy differential this week for me would be Raheem Sterling.
I agree. They're going to be on a high. Like, not many teams go away to Paris Saint-Germain, pick up a result. So I think City will be on form. A couple more wins and they'll wrap up the league if it isn't already wrapped up. So City 3-0 is a good shout. It could easily get stupid. But honestly, I don't think it will. I don't think Palace are the type of team that... I know Liverpool in the season slapped and won, but I don't see it going stupid.
Honestly, for those who are looking to come off Bruno for 1 week and know that they're going back, say sitting there with two free transfers and don't know what to do and want to kind of just shift something for 1 week and go back, honestly, I'd buy Raheem Sterling. Rather than forcing in the Canes and stuff like that, I'd buy Raheem Sterling if you're looking to chase and swing with it. And yes, there's a possibility he doesn't start, but I don't think that Raheem Sterling is part of Manchester City's best team anymore. Johnny said this to us a month ago, and since he said it on the COTC, he came on with Aaron Lagle during the international break. Basically, that's exactly what's played out. Foden is ahead of him now.
Mm.
So I think if Sterling don't start at Crystal Palace, that would become a surprise. I think he's a brilliant shout as a differential this week, but I think you've got to have the two frees and no issues to do it.
Yeah. And obviously, if you're coming off someone like Bruno, value in Bruno is quite a big deal as well, because
if you bought Bruno at 10.5, you're not going to want to make that move. Completely get that.
Correct. Brighton Leeds at the Amex.
I'm looking forward to this one. Two teams that I enjoy watching. I will go, I'm very much in doubt about it, so I'm going to go 1-1. The Brighton special, when in doubt, go 1-1. I'm afraid that, yeah, I'm going to bottle it and go 1-1, yeah.
I'm going to go 1-1, but not as a just a safety kind of prediction. I think it actually genuinely will be 1-1. But I think there'll be more chances than that. So it could easily be quite high scoring, even a 2-2. I think both sides will have chances. Just can they take them is the million-dollar question. Chelsea Fulham.
1-0 Chelsea, I'm going to go for. Not showing enough offensively. I think Fulham will want to stay in the game as well. Fulham are at the point where they've got to win games, but just going out and trying to take Chelsea apart at the start is not going to work for them. So I think there will be a clear intention to try and keep the game tight and then try and get something at the end is probably their strategy. It's a derby as well. I'm going to go 1-0 Chelsea.
Yeah, everything you just said. I can see a very similar game to last week against West Ham for Chelsea. Keeping it tight, moving around, creating better chances. But even there'll be periods where Fulham will have the better of the possession, and like we did, but end up just being defensively, they'll be too solid and keep a clean sheet. And they'll get what they need to done at the other end of the pitch with the goal. Pulisic's warming up though nicely. I mean, I really would love to own Pulisic for the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season.
Loved,
you know,
loved his quote in the week saying, "I'm not injury prone." Try telling that to FPL managers, mate.
Everton Villa.
I will stick with my COTC prediction of 2-1 Everton and ugly.
2-0 Everton for me. If Jack Grealish is back, I'm going to go for a draw. 2-2.
He won't be.
Then Everton 2-0 for me.
Everton. I don't think Jack Grealish is going to play again for Villa. And I've got a feeling he's not even going to be in the England squad this summer.
Wow. Newcastle Arsenal. You said it's not going to be as straightforward as you thought for Newcastle.
No, I think Newcastle win. 2-1 Newcastle. I just think Arsenal will... Obviously, the European tie is obviously very much in the balance. I think they'll make changes again. I just think mentally they're probably not going to be there for this game. They're going to be so focused on Thursday. Top four is definitely off the table for them. There's probably the fans probably want them to finish above Tottenham, but that's basically all they're playing for now in terms of league. Fancy Newcastle to win.
Okay. I was going to go 1-1. I'm just going to stick with a draw. I think I don't think Newcastle will have enough to beat Arsenal, but I don't think Arsenal, by the same token, will particularly do enough to beat them. So yeah, 1-1 for me on that one. Manchester United Liverpool, the big game, big tie of the weekend.
2-1 United.
2-1 Liverpool. This is a tough one to call, isn't it?
course it is, yeah.
Very tough one to call. Liverpool need to win to get into the top four. United will have a little bit of a sigh of relief after what they did last night, 6-2. I feel like Liverpool are going to just need it more than United need it, and that's why they'll end up winning 2-1. It's all a case of what they need.
I don't think need applies in Manchester United versus Liverpool games. It's way too important. Be interested, to be honest, it's going to be as interesting to see what happens pre-game as during game, I think, in terms of outside the ground. Just think, Liverpool, you're quite right, need to win the game. And I just think it might play into United's hands. But I would not be surprised if this finished 0-0, for example. And I wouldn't be surprised if Liverpool won. Just think, tactically, the scenario for the teams probably plays into United's hands at the moment. And I don't think, with the likes of Rashford going at them on the break, I don't think Liverpool can deal with it at the moment. So I'm going to go 2-1 United.
Spurs, Sheffield United.
Let's go positive. Let's go 3-0.
I was going to say exactly the same. I think this is the first game post-Mourinho that you can almost kind of enjoy, because the Everton game came so close after all this European Super League stuff and what have you. But there was the game
in Southampton
game, and then, Southampton game. There was that negativity surrounding that. Then it's the cup final, which is obviously a very different atmosphere. Here's a game where there's nothing riding on it, but it's just a standard league game. Go out and have some fun against a team at the bottom of the league. Express yourselves. Yeah, I think 3-0 Spurs, and it could easily be 4 or 5. If you score early and the likes of Sonny and Kane and Co are in mood, I think it could easily be 4 or 5. Because the first game, first chance for you to really let yourselves off the leash.
There's always a potential that could happen for Spurs now in a game like this, because this is really the one where there's no midweek to worry about afterwards and stuff. So it's possible. I just generally, to Sheffield United, it's not been happening. They obviously, look, they got relegated 2 weeks ago. They were a bit unlucky at Wolves. They beat Brighton last week. They kind of held on. They were still fighting for it. Full credit to them. So I don't feel like their heads are gone or they've not given up or they've given up or anything like that. We did see the Leicester game, which was obviously the first without Wilder, where their heads went. But maybe the mood in the camp settled down now and there's an acceptance. So I just never feel like they're particularly going to get battered. I think Leicester was the exception to the rule. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is only, say, 1 or 2-0, to be honest. Mm. But I'll go for 3. I'll go positive.
West Brom Wolves, Monday night, 6 o'clock.
I'm going to go 2-0 West Brom.
One one.
I think Wolves are an absolute mess at the moment.
They are, yeah. I mean, this one is a real meh. I could see your scoreline coming in 2-0 to West Brom, but Wolves did a few weeks ago have a couple of clean sheets on the bounce and win a couple of games. So I think 1-1. I'm going to stick with 1-1. And last but not least, Burnley, West Ham, the 8:15 bank holiday Monday. A lovely game. By then, the kids will be ready, packed off to sleep before school on Tuesday. I'll have the peace and quiet of a beer to myself and watch this one.
2-1 Burnley.
2-1 Burnley.
That's a long pause.
It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a tough game. I think 2-1 West Ham. I think 2-1 West Ham. We're a good football team in terms of we pass the ball around well, keep it well and stuff. And I think...
Are you though?
Yeah, I think we are. Even in periods against Chelsea, we kept the ball well and we moved it around reasonably well. So the thing that we lacked was penetration up top. And obviously it's easier to... The Burnley defence is not as good as a Chelsea defence at the moment. I think I'm going to go 2-1. I don't think it's going to be a classic or a great game by any stretch, though. As much as I'm going to sit and watch it, it's not going to be the best way to play.
I actually think it'll be a very good game.
Nah, I'm not seeing it. Not seeing it. But, let's see. 2-1 West Ham. I'm going to back us to get a win. But we know it's in our own hands now, so we've got to crack on.
Good luck.
Nice.
Sky.
Yes, Sky Fantasy Football.
Any change of thoughts from Wednesday's podcast?
No, not really. I'm going to be adding an extra... I'm going to get Iheanacho in tonight for Dominic Calvert-Lewin and stick the armband on him. That's my start point. That's the only change I'm looking at making this week. But I'll be Iheanacho tonight, Kevin De Bruyne tomorrow, assuming he's in the team. If he's not, Cancelo. And if he's not, then I'll default to Azpilicueta. So I've got a list of options there. And if Azpilicueta doesn't play as well, then I just deserve a slap in the face. Harry Kane on Sunday and Jesse Lingard on Monday. I'm not going to go Patricio. Jesse Lingard on Monday.
Iheanacho, Kane and Lingard will be the same for me. The only two things that might be different from Wednesday's pod is I have clarity now in terms of I'm going to captain Calvert-Lewin over Lewis Dunk on Saturday. That decision's been made. And I have given some thought towards selling Rafinha. Now, if I did, I would buy Wilfried Zaha.
I knew it was going to be Zaha.
I've decided at the moment that I'm not going to do that because I think ideally I want to move from Madison to Zaha next Saturday, the Saturday after, when Palace play Sheffield United. Also, we haven't got the confirmation on the fixtures.
Yet.
So, yes, Zaha could get me an immediate something, but they've got Man City this week. Am I really forcing it when, realistically, I'm going to miss out on 2 points, is the realistic answer. So I think the information is more important. And obviously, if Rafinha suddenly is back for Tottenham next week, then I don't really want to be selling him with the last four fixtures that Leeds have got.
Does he play for Tottenham? That's wishful thinking.
No, he plays against Tottenham. he'll fucking murder Brecon all over the place if he plays.
Yeah.
So that's why, and they've got Burnley, Southampton, West Brom afterwards. So that's why at the moment Rafinha would stay for me. I want confirmation that he's going to be fucked, basically. He could be back next week. So at the moment he's going to sit. And I think for the majority of people, that's the advice. If people at sort of your area surge 6-7 left or so, fine, move him on.
Yeah.
But I think at the moment it's better just to hold. And
but I know, the other thing is, I know when the fixtures are being announced, James.
Go on, Em.
3:01 PM today.
I can't see that.
Because as soon as the blackout starts, it's like, shit, I can't tweet about them at all. They have a habit of dropping things when, after deadline passes and shit. So
I can't see the sense in that. I genuinely think we might get something in the next couple of hours. I cannot see the sense in doing it over the weekend and not publicising it. That's in nobody's interest, is it?
No.
So I think if it's not before 3 o'clock, surely it's going to be next Tuesday.
Yeah.
A bit late. I still think we might get it today.
Yeah, but we won't be able to comment on it because we'll be in a blackout.
We can, because we'll be on Slack, so it's fine. So we comment on it, Slack with each other. As far as I'm concerned, guys, Slack is not social media. It's actually a workspace.
Okay,
am I right,
Google,
in saying that, Such?
Is Slack social media?
Oh, don't. If it says yes, please. As far as I'm concerned, it's our private space.
For business performance, University of Waterloo. Slack is a social media platform specifically designed for enterprise-wide social media integration.
Ah, fuck that shit. It's a private space. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah, it's closed off to the world. So, yeah, Slack is where we'll be talking about it.
The only people in there who are in there by fucking invite, as far as I'm concerned. It's not social. Bollocks to that, man.
Nice. Good. Patrons, enjoy your bank holiday weekend. It's going to be a nice long one. If you're taking part in the blackout as well, then you'll be able to switch off a little bit. Just enjoy the football for what it is. We're going to be back at you on Monday. We are releasing a podcast around discrimination in football. Looking forward to recording that one. Anything else to add?
No. Have a great weekend. That's it, basically.
Nice.
Good luck.
Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Oh, thanks for the support this month, patrons. Don't leave us today. It's May tomorrow. Cheers. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.